Hey, what's going on? What's going on? It's your boy Jay Will, and you know I got the bishop, the most honorable, the rabbi, this rising. Before we get started, I want to let you know this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered a legal, health, tax, or medical advice of any kind. We are not responsible for any losses or damage that may occur as the use of this podcast. You can follow Bishop Hamner. You see the look at the scroll going on the bottom at Truth Ministries. Great ministries. You should check them out. You can go on Facebook to Truth Ministries and you can find them. You can email Bishop Hamner at truthministries30@gmail.com, truthministries30@gmail.com to donate to Truth Ministries. Use the Kroger app under Kroger Community Rewards. Kroger Community Rewards. Type in JX228 to donate to Truth Ministries. Perhaps you want to get in touch with me, Jay Will, your boy. Email me, LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com, LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. And just in case you didn't know it, go to your Play Store, download the Live 365 app, and then type in Jay Will Gospel Radio. You can listen to 24/7 Gospel Radio all day long, in your car, walking through the mall, jogging, ride the treadmill, ride the bike. You can do it. If you're trying to tune your wife out, she's talking to you while you're trying to watch TV, put your earphones in, listen to Jay Will Gospel Radio, and you're good to go. All right. So Bishop Hamner and I always talk about very interesting subjects. And tonight we're going to be talking about what's going on the Gaza Strip. So some very serious things going on. But before we get started, just to give you a little backdrop, we know the Gaza Strip is in the Middle East. And a couple of historical facts about that. As a result of heavy fighting in autumn of 48, the area around the town under Arab occupation was reduced to a strip of territory 25 miles wide, or 25 miles long, excuse me, and 4 to 5 miles wide. This area became known as the Gaza Strip. And so the Egyptians had control over the Gaza Strip for a period. In 48, Arab and Israeli war, Egypt was in control of Gaza Strip and the surrounding areas that became the Gaza Strip. But now we have a totally different thing. And I don't know if y'all remember several weeks ago when Bishop and I were talking about the Nazis and how that thing came to fruition. And I told Bishop I was going to bring this up because it kind of all ties in together. Right after Adolf Hitler got done doing what he was doing with the massacre of the people we know as the Jews, they found him a land, and the land was Israel. But people were already living there when they took over that land. The Palestinians were living there. The Palestinians and some Arabian Muslims were already living there, and they drove them out, and then Israel took over the land. Later on, Israel took over the Gaza Strip. And so they've been having this war going back and forth. I can't remember when did that war start on the Gaza Strip for Israel. But I'm looking at it right now.
1940s?
Yep, it was in the 1940s. So the war started before we really knew about it, or it became highly publicized on the 27th of December, 2008, when Hamas attacks on the southern border led Israel to do strikes on Hamas. So it's a big mess over there. And Bishop, they fighting over land that really don't belong to them in the first place. But I say, I'll let you say this. We're going to talk about it tonight because Bishop Hamner has a wealth of knowledge. And he's going to keep the old man over here straight because, you know, I'd be going off on my rants and raves. So, Bishop, how you doing tonight, sir?
I am doing well, and I am amen and co-signing and retweeting everything that you have just said. All of it historically is accurate, especially and the one thing that's going to tell the tale of Israel and that land not necessarily belonging to Israel. So people don't understand. That's why I really am looking forward to the AI. What you got to do, all you got to do is look up Middle Eastern maps of the 1930s or the 1920s, then you will see it is not called Israel.
No.
It's not called Israel. You got to get a map from the 1950s on for it to say Israel going across after the famous Six-Day War. And as you stated, they had to fight for that land after the 1930s and 1940s, after what Hitler did to them. Then all nations agreed that the remaining Jews they needed protection and they needed a sovereign nation so that this atrocity would not happen again. And they went after a land that they believe was bestowed to them, their lineage to Abraham, Canaan land. So they went after that land. But I can tell you this, the land where Israel now sits, it is the promised land promised by Abraham. If it had not been that, then when Yahshua walked the earth, he would have told us, this is not the right land. And another point of origin that lets me know that it is the right land is that the angel after the resurrection of Christ and Christ ascended in heaven, Christ did not say this, but the angel that was with the apostles who saw Christ ascend into heaven left a word that the same way you saw him ascend off Mount Olivet, which is where they were, is the same place you will see him descend. So that land that is there now that is occupied, one, it is a land that the Almighty did leave for Abraham and his descendants. When Yahshua walked, he did not somehow say that it was not. And then the angel left record that Mount Olivet, which is the land where they are now, it too is that land. So there's record that the land definitely is a land that was bestowed to Abraham, left to Abraham's lineage, and Yahshua validated that land was left to descendants of Abraham. And then the angel again also validated to me that land is holy. Now the people who they are saying in their imagery of how they look, the people who live in that land now and occupy it, their skin does not look like the skin of the others who've been in that region a lot longer.
Right. And
you've already explained why, is because these were the Jews who were claiming to be one of the 12 tribes from the north. They coming from the eastern cold climate. And some you will hear some people say they come from Mount Caucasus, which is why you get the word Caucasian from. Don't know. I don't know if that's factually accurate or not, but I do know it's funny every time I say it. But the point being, the scriptures pointed out that Solomon was as black as tents, black as curtains. So the current occupants of that land that I'm telling you has already, it was bestowed by Abraham, validated by Yahshua, validated by the angel. But I'm saying the land was. The people, I can't say that they were vetted because they don't line up with what Revelation says, that the son of Yahshua will have the skin of jasper. Have you ever seen a jasper stone?
It ain't white.
I think it's a reddish brown stone. I'm pretty sure that jasper that the scriptures refer to, Yahshua, and even bronze, the color itself is not white. So when the scriptures refer to the Savior being jasper, or the scripture refers to the Savior having feet like bronze.
Yeah.
Hair jasper, like wool. Hair like wool. Yeah. That it's so I'm not going to get into the debate of a skin color from people from Mount Caucasus or people who don't have woolly hair, jasper toned skin, or bronze toned skin. And Solomon said that he was black. So I don't know. But what I do know is that the fight over there is real.
It is.
No pun on Israel, and it is real. It's a real fight. The Gazans, to put it in the context, 25 miles long, 4 miles wide. Most men who are in shape can run a 9-minute mile. 9 plus 9 normally is 18. 18, I believe, is still 36.
Yes.
36 minutes to run across the Gaza Strip. That's how long it would take an average man. Most men would run 4 miles in 30 minutes easy. To drive 4 miles would take you every bit of 5 minutes. We have Los Angeles. Just Los Angeles County is wider than 4 miles and longer than 25 miles. Just Los Angeles. So we're talking literally a country that in America would be considered a county. And you have over 2 million people living in it.
Man.
Can you send that to Brother J. Will? Send that to Pastor? So he can put that up so people can see the color of the Jasper Stone.
Oh, yeah. Send it to my email.
No, they're doing it now. They're getting that to you.
To my email?
Yes, to your email. They're sending that to your email. That way we can show the people.
I do want to disclose something. So our dialogue at the beginning of this has nothing to do with us being anti-Semitic. I like the current Jewish people. I don't have no problem with them. I love
Jews. So you saying that you're not anti-Semitic, why don't they say they're not anti-Black?
Well, because I'm going to be judged for how I treat others, not how they treat me.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just asking a question. We like to say we're not anti-Semitic. Why don't they say they're not anti-Black?
Well, I don't think they, I don't want to speculate, but I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can tell you.
That's my point. If they can speak on us, we can speak on them. And if their heart is pure, my heart is pure. And we don't have anything to hide. I've never heard them say they are not anti-Black. Even though I know factually they do not permit marriage with their children to people of a darker skin. They will allow you to marry a non-Jew from the Caucasian branch, but they don't let you marry, and they don't sanction marriage with Jasper. They actually disown you and disown your lineage if you're married to the Jasper. But they will allow you to marry anybody from the Caucasus Mountain. So why don't they put the Jewish nation a disclaimer that they're not anti-Black? Now, they walked, the Jewish Federation, walked with Martin Luther King because they had a shared goal. The shared goal when the Jews partnered with the civil rights movement was freedom for everyone. But what we have to look at are the data and the stats of what they do for people of Jasper color skin. What do they do? How do they uplift? And again, if you marry someone who is quote, quote, Jewish, and you have Jasper color skin, please write to me and tell me how that worked.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So I think that it's kind of hard.
You're not anti-Semitic just because you're saying that the people that are over there who have a different skin color than the book that the Torah says that they have, that doesn't mean that you're anti-Semitic. That just simply means I'm not colorblind.
Right. Well, I mean, I just don't want people to think that I don't like the Jewish people because I think that they're not the original identity of Black people, of Jews. I mean, I just don't believe that is.
How about this? You know, everybody in America, right now, you're an American, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm an American. The people who say they founded this country are American. Are any of them native to America?
Well, no.
No, none of them. None of the Indians who are prominent. There is none. They all are claiming to be something that they're not. We're claiming to be Americans. And we're not, clearly. We're not native Indians who literally had this land. But we call each other Americans. And the Indians are not standing up saying, y'all not Americans. Y'all not Americans. We are the real Americans. It is okay if somebody says historically, the people who are occupying that land historically did not occupy that land. They simply assumed ownership because to the victor still belongs the spoils. They stole land. They stole identity. And the proof that we know they stole land and stole identity is because a history said they came over here on a ship. That's their history. How can you be native to a country and you came to it on a ship?
But Bishop, not only that, before Christopher Columbus even got here, there were Egyptians that traveled in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, that's correct.
Because they built pyramids.
Correct.
Around some of the land on the Gulf of Mexico. That's like correct. The Mayans didn't build that pyramid, to build those pyramids. Those pyramids were built by Egyptians. So before Chris Columbus even got here, the Egyptians was already here. So, yeah, whatever. I do have that photo.
Oh, good. Can you show? Oh, okay, there we go. So when the scripture says,
That look like candy.
Yeah. Just like candy. Yep. Oh. No disagreement. No disagreement to me. So that's what the scripture says the color of the Savior is. And so since ancient Israel was near Northeast Africa and interacted heavily with African nations, a lot of people assume that Israelites themselves were African by origin. And that is true. Israel definitely is located in what was historically Palestine, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria.
Right.
But they came in and cut out a sliver. And let's try to put this as a note. Jacob and Esau was a hunter and hairy, and he was red. So that's the color of the Lebanese, the Jordan, Syrian. They are of that skin tone, darker. And the Palestinians, darker. That's that Esau lineage. But we know Jacob got that birthright legitimately. But Jacob would have looked a lot like his brother, and that still does not look like people who come from Mount Caucasus. It's just not. So only saying that it is okay to discuss if a people who say they are residing in a land and they say we are the original occupants of this land, it's okay to look at history and say there is no one who is white that is in America that we know as America today or America before Spain came, and Spain don't consider themselves white either. Spaniards don't. Before Spaniards came to the country first, and then the Mexicans would have came to this country as well. And then the Native Americans, they are all, do you realize the Native American also does not have pale skin?
Right.
They darker too. People don't talk about that enough, but they're not pale either. They're dark. So all these people look like Jasper, all of them. The Indian look like Jasper. The Africans look like Jasper. The Mexicans look like Jasper. None of them look like they come from Mount Caucasus. None of them do. They're not Caucasian. They're just not. They were the natives of this land. Anybody else is assuming an identity. And it is okay to say that those who are in the land of Israel now, the country, they are assuming that, and rightfully so, because they won it in war, but they're saying that this was originally their land when it was not. They're saying we were the original inhabitants, which they were not. We know historically they did come from Germany, and they were released from Germany. Not all of them, because some of them stayed. They went down, fought for that land, got a strip. Nations around the world said, we're going to recognize Israel, and Palestine learned to live with the people who just kicked you out in peace. How can I live in peace with somebody who just kicked me out? But that's what they're asking the Palestinians to do. And I get it. So they gave them a little strip called the Gaza Strip and the Golan Heights. And that's where Gaza sits today. But historically, the land was Jordan, Syria, Lebanese, and Palestinian. That's where they were. The Enoch people. Jacob came on in differently. These Europeans, they came on in differently after the war, kicked out, and they found the land. Historically, when you search, that's what you're going to find.
Right.
This other narrative, it is not racist, just like it's not racist to say to white people in America or black people calling themselves American, we're not totally honest because we were not raised with in teepees. We were not raised with teepee poles. We were not raised riding horses bareback. We were not raised worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. We did not have that culture.
Right.
We just did not. We did not live on the land. We were not Mother Nature. None of that. We weren't that. We took over the land, and now we're calling ourselves what the natives called themselves, and now we're saying we are Americans. And they still don't get recognized, and we still, as Americans, don't get called to the carpet for not being actually Native Americans. That's just not who we are. So it's okay for me to say to people who are in Israel, don't line up to the colors that I see written in the scriptures.
Right.
I'm just saying their skin tone, don't line up to it. So they are somebody, and they came from somewhere, but I can't say that they were the original inhabitants of that land. I can say they came in and took over it, and I'm okay with saying that they are not a part of that land originally, because these are the same people that are in that land who are telling me that Yahshua don't exist, and Yahshua was jasper and bronze color. So I'm okay. You know, we just agree to disagree. I'm not anti-Jew. I am a Jew. They're killing me. That's why I don't get into that debate. Yeah, I am a Jew. So, and I'm like an original Jew from Egypt, DNA certified, 23andMe, which is defunct, proved that I was a part. My lineage was a part of the lineage that came out of that Exodus in Egypt. So I got proof that my DNA came from that walk that came out of Egypt, which is where I find myself, because that's where Abraham's descendants were sent to, according to the book that I read, the Torah or the King James Version. Both say the same thing.
Now, I do want to add in there that the Jews that went out of Germany, they didn't have a place to go.
Oh, I agree.
And the United States helped them secure that land.
That is correct. Still helping them.
So, yeah, still helping them. And so it just goes back into the history of what the people in the United States, well, the Caucasians in the United States have done all this time. They've went in and stolen land, claimed it for themselves, or either given it to somebody that they wanted it to have. So they came in, stole the land from the Native Americans who were here clearly before they were. And I don't know if the Native Americans stole it from the Egyptians, but the Egyptians probably came and dropped them off.
Native Americans didn't. They came up. They came up through Mexico.
Mexico. Right, so Mexico. So viva las Mexico. So out of all that history, we find ourselves right now with the conflict that's going on, which has turned into a humanitarian situation.
Correct.
They got the Red Cross who's trying to help. They got different organizations who are trying to help. And what's going on right now, regardless of how they got there, but people, you needed to know the full story, you know, and that's only a part of the story. I could go on and tell you how the black people are really the Jews, but that's neither here or there. The people who are occupying
that space, we're not Hebrew Israelites believing that.
Right.
We're not Hebrew Israelites believing that. We're historians who believe that.
Exactly. So, facts. You can go to bed with that one. Go fast. So, but we got a humanitarian issue going on with the people who are occupying that space right now. They started off with this, you know, this conflict, and now Gaza faces a critical risk of famine and severe malnutrition for his people. And, you know, I'm looking at some of your notes with the humanitarian crisis. There's an estimation of 470,000 people in the Gaza Strip facing starvation. Come on, man.
That's correct. And there's only 2 million of them.
Man, that's a lot of people.
That's a third.
And now more than 52,000 people have died, and at least 118,000 have been injured on the Gaza Strip since 2023. And it don't matter who was in office. Them folks have still been going. They've been going at it.
Oh, no, for centuries. Again, Jacob and Esau fighting. They started off in the womb. Their descendants are going to continue to fight. Yahshua established there shall be wars and rumors of wars. But don't be discouraged. The end is not yet. We're going to go through that. So let's talk about Gaza, which, again, 4 miles wide, 25 miles long. There is a ruling authority there. And it's more of like an oversight type of government. It's a government plus military, but it's more of a philosophy. And they're called Hamas. Right. And Hamas resides in Gaza, but they're actually funded by Qatar. Hamas is not only funded by Qatar. Hamas is funded by Israel. So Israel actually funds Hamas through Qatar. Again, those are facts. Just look that up.
Wait a minute. Hold up, Bishop. Because I'm trying to see how I want to ask this question. So I'm funding the criminal. I'm giving the criminal the tools to use to break in my house.
That is correct. And telling the criminal when you're not going to be home.
Come on, man.
To make sure that you're not there to disturb what you know is about to happen.
Come on,
so
man.
Israel and Qatar are financially supporting Hamas. Hamas, which is a philosophy and a government, along with Iran, they don't believe any of those people who are currently in that land should exist ever. They want a complete and total annihilation of Israel. So I understand that. What I want to focus on is that Hamas in October, when they came into the land of Israel on its border in what was considered a buffer zone in a very holistic region of Israel. And one of the things that this region that the Hamas terrorists, how they raped and pillaged, that particular area actually was a melting pot of Israelis and Palestinians trying to show both countries that they can live in peace. Hamas didn't want that. Iran didn't want that. And Israel did not want that because they didn't want them to live in peace. So when Hamas came in and attacked, and they attacked a concert, and they still have hostages from that concert, they still have remains of both Americans, Israelis. Some other nations are involved in that as well because they were at that concert. They just took them all. So now Israel has decided to seek vengeance against Hamas who again only resides in Gaza. You cannot blame the people who live in Gaza for what is going on with Israel. That's not the Gazans' fault. Right. All of that is the fault of Hamas. But Israel is not taking it out on Hamas, who they funded. Israel is taking it out on the Gazans because the Gazans are allowing Hamas to remain in that region. But they can't, and people need to take their time and listen to this. The reason why those people who live in Gaza cannot kick out Hamas as a government is because they saw what happened in Afghanistan when America came in there for 20 years and kicked out the Taliban. And then Joe Biden pulled them out. And within a week of America leaving Afghanistan, the Taliban was right back in rule. All the gains that were made in Afghanistan, women being able to vote, women that being able to go outside without their hijab, women being able to go to school, women being able to work, all the progress they made, women, in Afghanistan for the 20 years America was there, was lost in a week, and now they're back under the same rule of the Taliban and Sharia law. Well, Gaza saw what happened in Afghanistan. Why would they kick out Hamas, knowing that America is not going to support regime change? Israel now knows no country is going to support regime change. So Israel now is taking the calculus along with Donald Trump, which is why Donald Trump said that could be the Riviera with beachfront property and you can sell it. They both have made a pact that they now want to occupy that area and use it to not only as not a buffer, but a place where they can develop and allow for peace. So the issue there is going to be this. They are literally looking to starve out those who live in Gaza. That's where I want to bring in the Holocaust. And again, I'm not saying I'm a historian. I'm saying I can read. Now, you might disagree with my conclusion, but what I am about to tell you is something that historically, this is the time that we should be paralleling this.
Yeah.
I need a physical picture, a map, a physical map. So when we look at what Israel is doing to those residents in Gaza, and hopefully, again, you understand why Gaza can't kick out the ruling government of Hamas because they don't want to be right back here. What the Israelis are doing, and that's what I want to parallel, and let's ask some questions and see if Israel, that is now occupied by people that we know were not original residents, but we know factually came from Europe, came from Germany, and from all around the world when it was told that they were going to be able to get their land back.
Yeah.
Did they learn anything from their captivity while the Nazis had them in captivity? And I'm saying, did the Israeli government take any of those measures that was used against them? And are they now using the same tactics and treatment that was done against them during the Holocaust? Are they doing the same thing to the residents in Gaza? That's what I want to ask. I want to ask that question. Are they using similar techniques? And I got several questions. First question, during the Holocaust, could the Jews move freely?
No.
In 2025, can the Gazans move freely?
Yeah.
Just ask. I'm just asking. I don't know. I'm just asking. Can they move freely?
I mean, the place is under military control at this point. So that's a no.
Don't worry about it. It's a no. We're just asking. During the Holocaust, were the Jews placed in a state of isolation?
Yes.
All right. So are the Gazans now placed in a state of isolation?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So how about this? During the Holocaust, was food rationed to the Jews?
Oh, man.
I'm just asking. Was food rationed to the Jews during the Holocaust?
Yes, sir.
I don't have to be the only one to ask these questions. I'm not saying I'm a historian. I'm just asking from a historical context. During the Holocaust, was food rationed to the Jews? Well, if you just said yes, well, is food being rationed to the Gazans?
Yes, sir.
All right, okay. Well, I got some more. During the Holocaust, were the Jews forced from their properties and lands?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, are the Gazans being forced from their property and land?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what book Israel is pulling from. I don't know what their motivation is. I don't know where they're getting their ideas from, but I got a couple more. During the Holocaust, were the Jews governed by the military?
Yes.
Well,
yes,
I'm just asking, who are we? I'm not a historian. I'm just a regular old person. I'm just asking a question.
It's a good question.
During the Holocaust, were the Jews governed by the military?
Yes, sir.
In 2025, are the Gazans and those residents who live in the Gaza Strip, are they too being governed by the military?
That's facts. Yes, sir.
Again, this is, I'm just talking, I don't know. I'm not a historian, but I can read. And what I read, I'm asking questions based on what I read. I got another one. I'm not suggesting that the Holocaust is similar to what is going on in Gaza.
Right.
I'm saying what is going on in Gaza is similar to the Holocaust.
Well, from a comparison contrast standpoint, there are similarities in the strategic structure of what's going on right now.
Seems like.
And so if this is not addressed, will we be looking at another potential disaster?
I can ask you about, because you were in the military.
Yes, sir.
So what does gassing do to you?
It all depends on what type of gas it is. So if it's just CS gas, it's just going to make you, you know, bodily secretions, eyes watering, burning. If it's a chemical gas, that's a whole different thing. It can cause death. It can cause blindness. It can cause, you know, cancer. There's different types of gas.
But you said if you're being gassed, you do go through asphyxiation, meaning that you can't breathe.
That's correct.
If it's a gas, your body begins to shut down and convulse.
Depending on what type of gas. Because when I was in the Army, we had to go in the gas chamber.
Oh, yeah. And you take our mask off
and they release gas in that gas chamber. So that was a non-lethal gas, but there's different types. So I don't know what type they're using.
No, we're just talking about gas and the effect of gas.
Yeah.
But it causes coughing, vomiting, redness of the eyes.
Yes, sir.
All right. So if you're starving to death, what are the symptoms of starving to death? What happens to you when you starve to death?
I guess there's several things that can happen if you starve to death.
Are any of them similar? Are any of the effects of starving to death similar to the effects of being gassed?
Loss of appetite.
No. Starvation is not a loss of appetite. But it is a closing of the esophagus. So what happens if your esophagus begins to close because it's dehydrated?
Well, you can't drink.
Can't drink. What else can't you do?
You can't eat. You can't.
Can't breathe. Can't breathe. Can't breathe. Yeah. So you literally, when you starve to death, you suffocate to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the, because your the passageways for your veins literally shrink and dry out.
That's well, yeah, because of dehydration.
Dehydration. So the same effects, very similar effects, are experienced when you starve as if you were being gassed. You want to know the biggest difference? Is the speed. You're going to die a lot sooner if you're gassed and you're overcome with the gas. Maybe 10, 15. Nobody's sitting in a gas chamber for 30 minutes. Not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
No, we wasn't in there that long at all.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying for you to die.
Right.
If you sit 30 minutes, even in the environment that you were in, if you would have sat in there with a non-lethal gas for 30 minutes, you would have ran out of oxygen. So the lungs need oxygen. If there is no longer oxygen in the blood in a confined space, that's why so many people die, because of a lack of oxygen. So if you don't have at least 21.3% of oxygen, you can't breathe. When you're at 6% oxygen levels, you're going to die. 1% oxygen levels, you're going to die. Gas has actually displaced oxygen in your lungs. So you're going to die a lot sooner because the gas is going to displace the oxygen in the alveoli sac of your lungs. So you're going to die significantly sooner, but you're going to die from asphyxiation because you don't have enough oxygen. But you're going to die quickly. That's my point. If you're being gassed, you're going to die quickly. If you starve to death, is that going to happen in 30 minutes?
No. It happens over a while.
Happen in a day?
No, I mean, there's a process involved with that. It takes a while.
You can literally starve to death 30, 40, 50 days. Starve to death. A very slow, a very painful, gasping for air.
Man.
So, and if you look at the effects of starvation, you look at, and I'm talking about medically, again, I'm not a doctor, I'm a doctor, but I can read effects. Read the effects of what happens to somebody when they starve to death. Read the effects of somebody when they're gassed. And what you're going to notice is that the person who starved to death lived a lot longer in misery than the person who was gassed, but very similar effects. I'm just telling you, man, what Israel is doing is not what the original occupants would have done, because the belief in the word of God does not allow you to see your brother starve. We were told to bless them that curse them. If somebody hit us on the cheek, turn the other side. We were instructed to feed our enemy.
Correct.
That's what we were told. We were told not to make enemies. We were told not to value this life. We were told to value the next life. And I'm saying those occupants over there now, their ideology did not come from the Torah. And it did not come from the commandments. It did not come from the Bible that I read. What they are doing now, those residents, really strip the page out of everybody that comes from Mount Cachis, because this is how everybody that comes from Mount Cachis behave. Be it Russian, be it Sweden, be it Germany. This is how they act. But this is not how people act who believe in what the scriptures refer to as, I am my brother's keeper.
Facts.
No, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what I was taught. So these people now, they're not forgiving their enemy. They actually funded their enemy. And now they are allowing their enemy to starve women and children, shooting not their enemy, which is Hamas, shooting residents who had absolutely nothing to do with the October attack. They are merely residents. They have no choice on who the government leaders are. They don't want to be Afghanistan, so they don't have a choice. Syrians don't want them. Egypt doesn't want them. Libya does not want them. Syria does not want them. Their brothers and sisters don't want them. And Israel is not only starving them to death, kicking them out. And I'm saying, it just sounds like that model came from somewhere. So I'm not saying that this is the Holocaust. Maybe they're just similarities. Yeah. I don't know. That's for all of those astute, degreed, Ivy League individuals to figure out. Just as a regular old public school educated individual who can read a word or two, understand the effects that happens to the human body, understand similarities. Maybe it's more complex. Don't look like it. They kicking these people out who were the original inhabitants because of politics. And it's just so unfortunate to me. Benjamin Netanyahu, or Benjamin, he's the one who's the prime minister. He's not even a president of the country. He's prime minister. He's the one doing this. So for gas chamber, terror is intense and short-lived. Survivors, those not killed immediately, carry severe trauma, starvation, long-term despair and hopelessness, with entire communities wasting away together. Parents which watch children slowly deteriorate slowly, and in a devastating form of psychological torture. So starvation is used as a torture technique, just like the gas chamber was used as a torture technique. It takes 2 weeks to a month, depending on access to minimal food or water, to starve. And the gas chambers are designed for mass killing, but they still have asphyxiation as the main cause of death.
Right.
And starvation produces a pronounced and prolonged suffering. It's just both are psychological tortures. And what they're doing in Israel now, in Gaza, is terrible. And a lot of people are speaking out against it. Again, there's only 2.3 million residents there. And like you said, 470,000 have already died.
Right.
They say 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. That number varies from time to time. But in the initial stages, the Gazans that are died are paralleling those numbers of the Holocaust in the beginning. And I mean, it's not for me to say. I'm only telling you what I see from afar off. But from afar off, what Israel is doing to people who had nothing to do with the attack on October, but actually was a terrorist organization funded by Qatar and by Israel. But the poor residents of Gaza are the ones who are suffering from it.
So I have a map. I have a map of the Gaza.
There you go.
Pull this up.
That's it.
You see it?
That's why Trump is calling it beachfront property.
Oh, there it is. There's a picture of the Gaza Strip.
Yep.
So that's the Gaza Strip, and you have the Mediterranean Sea.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this little strip so important? You got Egypt over here, and you have Israel occupying all this land. Why is this so important?
Well, the seaport, the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah, but I mean, they got the seaport over here.
Well, true, but that Gaza Strip actually was a part of the land flowing with milk and honey that was promised by Abraham. And it is a buffer between Egypt, Libya, and Syria, the other nations that are out there. Syria up there at the top, and then Jordan to the right of that. Israel right there smack in the middle. But again, if you get a map from the 1920s, it will not say Israel in that context right there.
Oh, next no.
Egypt and then between Jordan. It won't say that. If you get a map, and we're looking for one now to send you and show you, it would not say that. So they're fighting over that little land in the Golan Heights that are out there as well. It is unfortunate what is happening to them. But again, Jordan don't want them. Egypt don't want them. And Syria don't want them. What Israel is doing, it definitely should be investigated, and something should be done, because from where I'm looking, it looks like techniques that are being used against the residents of Gaza are the same techniques that were used against the Jews during the Holocaust. Just because it's not gas doesn't mean the end result is not the same, and that's death.
Right.
We're not going to talk about, you know, the rape that's going on the Gazans, the stealing that's going on of their land, a complete total destruction of their infrastructure, where they don't have food, water, electricity, anything. They have them literally living like savages. Literally.
That's crazy.
Living like savages. And we are supposed to somehow write a different narrative. And I didn't create this narrative. I'm just talking about what I see. And I'm not saying history. I'm saying the Almighty is not going to be kind to anyone who is that. There we go. That's it. That's it.
This one's kind of blurry.
That's blurry.
It's real blurry.
Who sent something so blurry?
No, that was me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't get the blurry one.
Yeah, it wasn't your staff.
It wasn't my crack staff. Yeah, no, so my staff, no, they get fired. Now, they're children, of course, but I don't know what firing is going to do. They still got my last name, but I'll fire them anyway.
Yeah, I just think it's crazy that all of these people are dying. All these people are being affected. But then we're helping. Where's the humanitarian efforts involved in all of this with keeping these people?
So, no. Let's be fair. So the UN is actually doing everything they can to get aid there. Israel is keeping out. Yep. Yeah, that one's, it's a little better. It's a little.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to find one.
No, keep you talking. Got, it's one out there. They out there because, history, they're rewriting history. I can't do anything about it. Yeah, they're rewriting history. And it's up to us to say, well, they can write what they want, but we know better. That was not their land. We know where they came from. We know how they got there.
Right.
And what they're doing now to the original residents is wrong, especially with them funding them. And of course, the tension is going to be, it's just going to be tough. And we got to continue to pray, but we have to get the accurate information out there from this perspective, so that real help can come. If you keep lying, not telling all the truth, not keeping the proper historical context, not drawing lines, which are the appropriate lines, that's where you're going to get in trouble. And they're calling that one the United Kingdom of Israel.
Yeah.
So that one has them owning what is known as the Gaza Strip.
It does.
Yeah, that map that, does.
That map does. So, I mean, there's all kind of, well, we know that the map was redefined several times.
Yes. Yes.
You know, even the American map. I mean,
oh, yes.
When
yes.
you look at original maps, California was a part of Mexico.
You know, yeah. That's a fact.
And they took that land. But
they took that land.
I know they have efforts to bring relief to the folks over there, but how successful do you think they're going to be?
No, because so Israel's not allowed.
They're not Israel's giving not up.
Allowed. Israel's not allowing aid. Israel is rationing aid to the residents of Gaza. They literally are shooting people who are going to the depots to get food. They're shooting them. The soldiers are. There's conflicts between the soldiers and those in Israel. And they can say all they want. That's not the Holocaust. A lot of shooting went on from the German soldiers against the Jews because of them wanting to escape, them wanting food, them disagreeing, or a German soldier, a soldier waking up and wanting to kill some Jews or take their land or rape their women. It's beyond close. It's paralleled. It's reminiscent of not something that I went through. It's reminiscent of something that I just read. And I'm just, since I wasn't there and I'm just reading the historical facts, it looked a lot like what happened to them. And turning that book and page on someone else.
But Israel is saying that they're doing what they're doing based on security concerns. So I know at one point they were trying to all sit at the table and talk. What happened with that?
So Hamas does not want to release hostages, and Hamas does not want to release the remains of the Israelis. Not without securities. They believe the only reason they've not been completely wiped out, in my estimation, they're keeping that as leverage. But you can't root out Hamas. It's an ideology. It's not a person. So there are a lot of people that are going to pick up that banner. I want to keep reverting back to Afghanistan and the Taliban. America was there for 20 years with their form of government. And the minute they pulled out, the president of Afghanistan left with the Americans. The Taliban came and took over. So the Gazans, they have no choice but to wait for Hamas to negotiate with Israel. But at this point, it doesn't seem like the prime minister of Israel wants to negotiate with Hamas. So Hamas, even though they might enter into an agreement, it would be to their demise. But I don't know that the prime minister of Israel even wants peace. I think he wants to keep fighting, which is why he bombed Catholic churches. And the Pope was like, wait a minute, what did the Catholic Church do to you? I can tell you what they did. The Catholic Church is promoting Jesus as a Jewish savior, and Israel is getting back at anybody that is reminding them that Jesus was black, and y'all promoting a black man and they'll know it. So we bombing that too. So
yeah,
Israel's bombing Catholic churches over in Gaza. So the Pope spoke out against that and told them that don't bomb churches. Israel don't care. Israel is going to always say, just like they bombed reporters from Al Jazeera, and they saying, well, these reporters actually were members of Hamas masking as reporters with Al Jazeera, so they just killed them. Israel is going to continue to use Hamas as a reason to just kill people, Catholic churches, reporters, babies, schools, Israel is on a scorched earth path, and they are literally destroying everything in his path. And now the prime minister has already said that he wants all the residents of Gaza gone. He wants them out. And he no longer wants a buffer. He wants the land. That's what he wants. And, you know, who am I? Who am I?
Well, hopefully it gets better.
In Gaza? No.
Yeah, well, you know, we can pray. We can pray to
the God. I'm with you. We can hope all we want, but
I mean, I don't have no skin in the game over there. But what I can tell you is, there is no difference between what they said Hamas was doing and what Israel is doing right now.
I agree.
They say Hamas was killing people. They didn't agree with Hamas killing people. Okay, Hamas stopped killing people. But now Hamas is trying to defend themselves or protect themselves, because they know as soon as they give them hostages up, you know, bye-bye Hamas. Well, bye-bye that region that the Hamas is in right now is going to be totally gone.
They know that.
They know that. So they hold on to these hostages. But it's not, what they're doing is not right either. Two wrongs don't make it right.
That war, we can't parse it. It's been going on for centuries.
It's going to continue to go on. But when you have two groups of people who both think they're correct, and they're going to defend their correctness no matter how wrong it is, because they really believe that it's correct as what they're doing. There's no way to convince them that they're wrong. You know, there was no way to convince Adolf Hitler that what he was doing was wrong.
That's true.
He thought that he was doing right. And at the same time, you know, the United States was doing the same thing to black people.
True.
And so at the same time, you know, we're talking about Russia and Ukraine. Israel and Hamas is doing the same thing on the Gaza Strip.
It's true.
It's all, you know, assassination of people and the humanitarian efforts that we're supposed to have, the compassionate, the loving, and the caring, is all gone out the window. And we're all going to hell in a handbasket.
Well, that's true. But all these people are evil. And again, they all come from Mount Caucasus. So you mentioned about Germany and Hitler, and he believed that he was right. So let's talk about another person who was actually there during the time of the Holocaust and was on the soil during the time of the Holocaust, Jesse Owens.
Yeah.
So how did Jesse Owens get there? Well, it was the Olympics. Wait a minute. Why would the Olympic Committee hand over something as valuable as the Olympics to Adolf Hitler during the time that they knew that he was killing people and putting them in internment camp? Why would they do that? So this is the book they've been writing for centuries, man. This ain't new. And Jesse Owens had to go over there and dispel the myth of white supremacy and kicked all a Duke in running, long jump, and high jump.
He kicked him in the caucus.
Kicking in the cockpit is what he did. Jesse Owens kicked him in the cockpit. But the layer we need to peel back is, why would the Olympic appointing committee appoint that to them?
Right.
Because this book has been used for centuries. Don't get me wrong, putting the Catholic Church off the hook during the time that the Jews were in captivity. The Pope at that time sided with Adolf Hitler.
That's facts.
So again, them people from Mount Caucasus, not all of them, not all of them. I know one good one.
Yeah. I live with one of them.
That's my point. Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Mount Caucasus are terrible. That's the disclaimer that we need to make.
Yeah.
I was just telling somebody today on a different topic that I'm going to talk about it on tour tomorrow a little bit. But what I was pointing out to him that during slavery and the time of slavery in America, not all white people owned slaves.
Right.
Even though they could, because they were against it. Not everybody is for this stuff. So not all people from Mount Caucasus are these horrible people stealing other people's identity, using a page book of terror to terrorize somebody else. They all don't do it. There are certain people who believe that they love their neighbor as themselves and that humanity is valuable and has a value, and they never devalue a human. No matter what they do, they don't devalue humanity because it's precious. But I'm telling you, the majority of people from Mount Caucasus are all reading the same book, because the Olympic Committee had no business appointing the Olympics to Germany during that time when they all knew. And the Pope had no business siding with Adolf Hitler at that time, even though they knew. And America has no business supporting Israel as they destroy these Gazans. But they all come from the same mountain, and they all read the same book.
Well, we can talk about this for hours, but I'm going to say, at the same time, dude, this is so crazy. At the same time, they had slavery going on in the United States. Along the coast over in the Carolinas, they had black slave owners.
Oh, no, so it's because, no, not all white people owned slaves.
Yeah.
Not so all it, black people were slaves.
It was
and a, there were a significant amount of black slave owners.
Right.
That is correct.
At that time, it was more of a socioeconomic thing rather than a color thing.
Correct.
And so, but I'm seeing right now with Israel and Hamas, it's not really a color thing or a socioeconomic thing as much as it is a belief and theological thing.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got the Muslims and you got the Jews, you know, some of them are.
Well, that's Isaac and Ishmael. So
they've been fighting a long time.
Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Ishmael, all over again. Hagar, he received the promise that her son was going to be a king, a mighty king over a mighty nation. And them brothers are still fighting. Both claim Abraham. The Jew claim Abraham, and the Muslim claim Abraham. These are brothers fighting. So you got brothers from Isaac and Ishmael, and then you got brothers or twins from Jacob and Esau. So, you know, that region is going to be split. And that's why I'm saying, me and you, we're not going to solve it. We can talk about it. We can dissect it. But we're never going to solve it. Christ is going to come back and teach all men all things. So he said, Christ said, many sheep have I, but not of this fold. But one day I will bring them in to one fold. That scripture supports this point. When Christ comes, he's going to teach us all and separate and explain everybody's lineage and why this is why we need to come together. He's going to explain where it went wrong and what we're going to do to get it right. That's what Christ is going to do when he returns. Until then, they are going to be fighting like they were in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be fighting. And there's just nothing that can be done about it. Other than call out, this abuse is uncalled for, unnecessary, and there is another way. We know there's another way.
Yeah. I mean, but the more you think about this, Hamas has really been fighting the wrong people.
Who do you think they should fight?
Well, I'm glad it's not they're not really fighting the real Jews.
They're
fighting the European Jews.
Yeah.
They're not fighting the real Jews, but the Europeans usually the one that stole the land. So I kind of understand why Hamas is aggravated and Palestinians are mad.
Yeah,
y'all came in, took our land, and y'all claiming to be somebody that y'all really not in the first place.
That's correct.
But you know, all right. Well, Bishop, any we've been at this for over an hour. We continue to go now because we got some more.
No. We're gonna keep praying for them because
we can do a part two. Let's come back. We'll set up a schedule. We can come back and see and give regular updates. Because I think this is a very important issue. We gave you a lot of historical backdrop on this today. But I want to give, you know, and I'm sure Bishop wants to do this too, to continue to give you updates on what's going on over there.
Right.
And, you know, of course, they're not receiving help and aid from outside. No. So you really can't do anything from that capacity. But we can continue to pray for them, just like we pray for the stuff that's going over here in the United States. Bishop, any last words?
I co-sign, retweet everything that you just said. Prayer is always in order. Understanding the context is vitally important if you really want a lasting peace in that region. They have to come to terms with some simplistic borders. And there needs to be a government in Gaza that wants to live in peace. And until there's a government that wants to live in peace, you're not going to have peace. Mm-hmm. And prayer and negotiations, prayer and diplomacy, that's what's needed in that region. And we're going to continue to pray. And we're going to pray for diplomacy. Pray for the diplomats, pray that they receive a government that wants to live at peace and does not want to retaliate. That's when the Gazans are actually going to be able to dwell in peace.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to hit Bishop Hamner up. Email him at truthministries30@gmail.com. truthministries30@gmail.com. Donate to Truth Ministries via the Kroger app under Kroger Community Rewards. Type in JX228, JX228 to donate to Truth Ministries. And, of course, you can always hit me up. Your boy, J. Will. Lee Will, the letter J, at gmail.com. Lee Will, the letter J, at gmail.com. All right, until the next time. Oh, wait. Don't wait till you get sick to go to the doctor. Get yourself checked out. Get your blood pressure, A1C, cholesterol, all that good stuff. And get some life insurance, folks. There's some of y'all out there that love chicken. But we tired of selling chicken dinners and GoFundMe pages to pay for your funeral because you waited to the last minute to try to get some stuff squared away. Get some life insurance. If you don't know some people, I know some people. I'm sure Bishop Hamner knows some people. We can get you squared away. Okay, until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord God give you peace. All right, we're out of here.